Hi, my name is John Evans. Today we are talking through GDPR. This is one of two training modules, and I've got with me in the room Rob Long, who's our resident expert. What exactly is GDPR?
So GDPR stands for the General Data Protection Regulation. It's a European regulation across all of Europe and replaces a directive back in 1995. The Data Protection Act 2018 is the UK's law, which fills in the gaps where each member state within Europe can flex certain controls.
I suppose the question on everybody's lips, Rob, is, so how is it different to what was before?
I would say the main difference is regarding an underlying principle around accountability. The regulators and the general public want to hold organisations to account for breaches and misuse of data, and there's plenty of headlines around those scenarios.
Yeah, we've heard some of them. Some of the big companies on IT networks have had problems, haven't they?
Yeah, certainly on IT networks, certainly some of the big social media companies and internet providers are also within the regulators' gaze at this current time.
Wow. So what about smaller organisations?
So this is where I think the difference really applies. Some of the bigger organisations, it's more around the use and lawful use of personal data. For the smaller organisations, certainly within care and within education, it's around securing people's data and processing it in a manner which is fair and lawful.
So there are consequences for not following it then?
There certainly are. And a lot of the press and a lot of the scaremongering that happened on the back of GDPR some 12 months ago was more around the size of fines. Yes, there is an increase in the size of fines, and the French authority has already wielded their sword in that regard with a hefty fine towards one of the internet service providers. But in reality, for the smaller organisations, it's about reputational risks and also action from regulators, but also your citizens, your residents, your pupils, who would expect a certain level of privacy and security around their personal data to be maintained.
Well, you've picked up on an important point there, Rob. Why is it so important?
Moving forward, the processing of personal data, which is critical to a care organisation such as St Monica Trust, is really, really important. Residents, their relatives would expect a certain level of privacy to be maintained and that their personal data to be handled in a certain manner. I always say think about it yourself around your own families, how you would expect your own family's data to be treated and handled with the utmost respect.
And has there become more of an imperative around this because of the advent of social media and things like that?
Certainly, I would say so. The progress of social media and the internet in the last few years has really highlighted the importance of maintaining a certain level of control. And it was also highlighted that you don't have a certain level of control when there is data that's been exposed. Certainly, it's out on the internet. It's very difficult to get it back.
Okay, so there's every reason to be picking up on this, and it applies to everybody, does it?
So General Data Protection Regulation and GDPR and data protection applies to personal data. So personal data is data which can identify or indirectly identify a living person. For deceased persons, there is still a common law of confidentiality regarding them, but it's around personal data.
So let's run through that then, Rob. Tell us, what exactly is regarded as personal information?
So to directly identify somebody, personal data such as a name and address is quite obviously personal data. Indirect personal data could be things like photographs, it could be a national insurance number, it could be a car registration number. You could use that data with another data set to identify somebody.
And are there any other things that need to be looked at in with that?
Certainly things like IP addresses. So an IP address is effectively a signature of a computer or a device, a mobile device. It could be anything attached to the internet which identifies that machine effectively or that user. So that's why we're starting to see more policies appear on websites around the use of an IP address and the use of cookies to effectively to track your behaviour.
So nail it for us in four things then, Rob. What is personal information?
So personal information relates to a living person and identifies a living person. or it could help somebody identify a person, and as an it could be an expression or an opinion about an individual, or it could indicate an intention around an individual.
So give us some examples.
An example would be a name, an address, a date of birth, an email address could also be personal data, a phone number, location data has also been brought into GDPR. So since the progress around the use of apps and wanting to track your location, that's also been caught up as personal data. And as I mentioned, an IP address of a device is also personal data.
Okay, so is all personal data the same, or is some of it more sensitive than others?
So yes, there is another category of personal data. It used to be called sensitive personal data, but under the new regulation, it's called special categories of personal data. Effectively, that is personal data that could identify somebody's race or ethnic origin, their political opinions, their religious beliefs, whether they're a member of a trade union, biometric data that could identify them, such as a fingerprint. Their mental or physical health condition, which obviously that broad scope of data will definitely bring into effect care organisations and social care organisations. Sexual life, sexual orientation, criminal data is dealt with in a slightly different way under the Law Enforcement Directive, but for all intents and purposes is sensitive to you and I.
Okay, so just give us some specifics there.
So it would be a resident's care file about administering medication to them. That's quite clearly health data. Could be somebody's notes around their activity, that they haven't slept well, they've come under more due stress and anxiety, sort of mental health conditional notes, if you like. In a school environment, it could be sort of safeguarding records, health records, even accident books. Whilst it might not be sensitive to you or I, actually it's containing health data, and it will be categorized as special category data.
Okay. Wow, it's quite broad, isn't it?
It certainly is. And the main thing to recognise here is extra controls and extra processing, a legal basis for processing is needed to process special category of data. And that's where the fines are certainly being aimed at.
Okay. And this applies just to personal data, does it?
So GDPR does just apply to personal data, but certainly you still need a common sense approach, and you could categorise a confidential data as something around a tender document, commercially sensitive information. You certainly wouldn't want that blowing down the street. So things like tender information, business strategies, and so forth would also be you want to keep some element of security around that.
So in summary, then, there's a lot to understand. There's a lot to take on board for people, and some very clear things that everybody has to do going forward.
Definitely. I think the first thing is to understand it's personal data. I need to take note of that. I need to treat it as if it was my own, with some common sense measures.
Okay, excellent. Rob, thank you for coming in today. We're going to pick up next time on the do's and don'ts and the major things that we have to look out for when we're doing data protection. So we hope that that's been interesting and informative for you. And please check in with our second podcast, stroke training session, which will be coming up soon.